So we are wrapping up and concluding our series called Heart Check we've been doing over the last 4 weeks. And if you have not been here, all of our messages are online. You can download them on our app, Revive Wesleyan, on any phone, whether that's iPhone or Google phone or Android, whatever is your preference. And you can listen to the audio version of whatever we're doing. And Becky and I have the privilege once in a while to tag team preach together. So we wanted to just wrap up this series together, kind of going back and forth and really give some application of what we've been talking about as a church family. The whole concept of this series of Heart Check, it came down to what Jesus said in Matthew. He said, wherever your heart is, he said it this way, wherever your treasure is, there your heart is. So I could tell what's most important to you based on where you spend your resources, time, treasure, and your talents. And so throughout this series, we've been talking about this and looking in 1 Timothy, where Paul, the Apostle Paul, has been writing to Timothy, his Padawan, if you're an Obi-Wan Kenobi fan with Disney Plus, his mentor, the person that he's been investing into his life, and saying, this is what it looks like to advance the gospel. And so we have this letter that he's given us in the New Testament, 1 Timothy chapter 6. And we just want to review the first 3 weeks together real quickly, just to kind of catch you up to speed. The first week, we looked at the chapter 6 of 1 Timothy, beginning in verse 6, where Paul says, basically, Timothy, be content. That our goal in life is to be content with what God has given you and to be generous with God, what God has given you, and to be hopeful. In fact, he reads it this way, or he writes it this way in 1 Timothy 6:17. He says this on the screens. Command those who are rich. And did you know if you live in America, you live in the top 10% of the wealthiest people in the world? So that he's not just talking to the people there, but also to us today. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. It's so easy for me to put my hope in my stuff, my possessions, my wealth. Paul's saying, don't forget, all this is from God. He even said early in the passage that you bring nothing into this world, you're not going to take anything with you when you die. And so it just gives us perspective. And that was week one.
Week two, we continued in 1 Timothy 6, and we discussed the prison of more and how we get caught in this cycle of wanting more stuff, more possessions, more property, more money, and that money is not evil. It's the love of money that causes the destruction of many, even causes some to walk away from the faith. But we can be freed from that prison. We can get out of debt. We can be freed from the greed and other desires that can get us entrapped in that prison of more. Not be freed just for our own good, but then be freed to be generous to others who are in need.
That's right. And then week three, last week, we had a chance to link in together with our 5 campuses of Revive. We're one church in 5 locations, this being one of those in East Aurora. And we had our partner globally, Maher, from YFC Lebanon in the Middle East. And he was able to share with us this idea that as followers of Christ, we're not called to just survive, but to thrive, even in life's difficult circumstances, even in crisis. And he was able to share with us what life has been like in the Middle East in the last 2 years, 3 years. He said in 2019 that there was a revolution that happened. And then you probably saw in the news in 2020, before COVID, or even in the midst of COVID, the explosion that happened in Beirut that left hundreds of thousands of people homeless and thousands of people dead. And then on top of that, he talked about the collapse of their economy, what's been happening with refugees fleeing in from Syria over the last 10 years even, and then the mass exodus of people just out of the country for fear of their life. And so he also didn't just speak of that in a bragging way or saying, like, this is how it is for us. But he said, we understand that every country has its own crisis. That even here in America, with gas prices, with our economy, the way things are right now, when it comes to just the shootings that we've had locally in our own communities, city, national, over the nation, you know, just what we've been hearing and how that's happened from elementary schools to medical facilities, even this last week. He's saying that we all have crisis. It just looks different based on your region, but it's how we respond in those crises. Are we people of hope only when things are good? Or are we people of hope even in the hard times, the difficult times, when people are looking for direction? And so over these past several weeks, you know, we've been just kind of processing this, and many of you have reached out to me and said, either through email or phone calls, Kevin, with all that's going on, what can we do? What should we do? What's our response?
And as we thought and prayed over this message, we really, the first thing to do might surprise you, and you actually might already be doing it without even knowing it. But we, first of all, we must lament. We must lament the things that are going on. And we're going to have a prayer series over the summer where we'll talk more about this type of prayer, is what lament is. But lament really is seeing things in the world that don't match up with the character of God, what we know to be true about God, and bringing that to God's attention, calling out to God about those things. Lament is grief, it's anger, it's sadness, it's confusion. And let me tell you, a couple Tuesdays ago when I heard about the shooting down in Texas at the elementary school, I called my sister and we were both at a loss. We don't have categories, mental categories, to understand what that's like for your student not to come home from school ever again. And we wept, we got angry, but we lamented. We've got kids in the school systems. I just can't even fathom what that town is going through in Texas as they bury kid after kid after kid after kid. And so we lament the shooting at Tops in our own backyard, where those people were publicly executed, for lack of a better term, for nothing other than being of a different race. And then we have the medical facility down in Tulsa, Oklahoma. That building is four buildings away from where Kevin's sister works in the medical field. And so week after week, it just feels like there's just another thing, this another heavy layer of evil. What do we do? You feel hopeless. What do you do in the face of such evil? And so in the Psalms, which are written prayers for God's people, the Psalms teach us to lament. Liam's lamenting right now. He knows what's up. He knows how to do that. And so the Psalms lead us in the way of how to lament, because honestly, we as Westerners aren't great with lament. We don't really even know how to do that. But in the Psalms, there are 42 individual laments where people are lamenting things in their specific life that are going on. But there's 16 national laments where the whole country laments together. Isn't that interesting? I feel like we are in the midst of a national lament together. And so I actually just want to read a couple of verses from these laments, because the Psalms teach us that this is necessary. This is a necessary step, a godly response to injustice and to evil. And so, for example, in Psalm 60, David is lamenting the fact that in one day, 12,000 people were slaughtered in battle. And he says, "God, it seems like you walked off and left us. Why have you turned against us? You've been angry with us. Oh Lord, we plead, come back and help us as a father. The earth quivers and quakes before you, splitting open and breaking apart. Now come and heal it, for it is shaken to its depths." Have you ever talked to God in such honest, raw language? Psalm 74, I'm just going to read two verses of it. But the psalmist says, "God, how much longer will you let this go on and allow these barbarians to blaspheme your name? Will you stand back and watch them get away with this forever? Why don't you do something? You have the power to break in, so why would you hide your great power from us? Don't hold back, God. Unleash your might and give the final blow." And so these psalms give us permission to process our negative feelings of the things that are going on that do not match God's character. To question, how long, God? Why aren't you doing something? That's prayer. It's necessary prayer. It's healthy prayer. And we can be angry, we can be bewildered, we can be sad, and we can and should ask God to make things right.
And he can handle that too. I mean,
he can handle all of our emotions. Absolutely. He created all of our emotions, and so he can handle them when we express them to them. And we see this modeled in Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. He laments the fact that human sin is a thing and that he is the one to pay the price for that. He asks God, if you could take this cup from me, please do. He laments. And so we have to lament, but we don't only lament. We don't sit in the lament so long that we don't take action. Jesus lamented, and then he acted. And what is the greatest act against evil and injustice ever? Dying on the cross as an innocent man. And so we must lament, but secondly, we must act. That is also the healthy, biblical response to evil and injustice. Romans 12, 21, this has been such a comfort to me throughout my life in the face of overwhelming evil. Romans says, do not be overcome with evil. Don't just lament, but overcome evil with good. And I want to tell you that Revive Wesleyan, across all of our campuses for as long as this church has been in existence, has been working against evil and injustice on so many fronts, locally, regionally, and across the world, through our time, through our treasure, and through our talents. And I'm not here to tell you that Revive Wesleyan and the Heart Check campaign are the answer to all of these evils that we as a nation have experienced. But it is a wonderful opportunity to join with other believers in a united front against evil and against injustice. People from our own congregations, but then also people that we partner with across our communities, across our region, and across the world in order to combat evil. And so as you pursue God, as you sit with God during this time, as you lament, he might ask you to do something new and radical. Listen to that. In fact, we are going to watch a video in a couple minutes of two couples from our church that did exactly that. So be aware of what the Holy Spirit wants to do. But most likely, he's going to ask you to participate in something that he is already doing. God is always active. He's always been working against evil since the dawn of man, and he's going to continue working against evil when you and I are long gone, and one day he will defeat all evil. Amen. But for now, we get to participate with the Holy Spirit in what he is doing right now.
And so Heart Check comes at a perfect time as we think about what can we do. God has been setting this in place from the very beginning. This is one of the ways we can respond. And so we want to continue and wrap up this series looking at 1 Timothy 6, the last couple of verses. If you have a Bible, feel free to use the one in the chair in front of you, underneath, or if you have an app or a Bible that you brought with yourself, the verses will also be on the screen. But Paul continues to write to Timothy, and he says in chapter 6 of 1 Timothy, verses 18 and 19, he says this, command them to do good. When he's talking to them, he's also referencing the verse before, those who are rich, which is all of us in America. Command us, command everyone to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. And in this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. How many of you want to experience life that is truly life? Hopefully that's you. But this is the secret of how God wants us to live, how we manage, how we have the stuff that we live, how we manage those things. Paul tells us, he says, do good with those things, to be rich in good deeds, to be generous and willing to share. And then I love how the Passion Translation says it this way. It says that these spiritual investments will provide a beautiful foundation for their lives and secure them for a great future. See, our generosity advances God's kingdom now and into eternity. It's now and also in the future. If we do what Paul says, living our lives with our hands open, saying, God, whatever you've given me, I allow you to do what you want to do with. Because it's easy for us to put our hope in those things. But don't do that. Don't be arrogant. Let's put our hope in God, who richly provides us all that we need. We are to give what is temporary, our time, our talents, and our treasure, for what is eternal. And invest it into what is eternal, not just for our eternity, but for others as well. Because we're called to love God and to love others, and this is what it looks like, Paul says. Remember, in week one we talked about, it's all remembering about everything we have. Paul said at the beginning of this chapter, as you were born into this world, you brought nothing into it. As you leave this world, you're gonna take nothing with you. So we are just managers of what God has given us. But the kingdom of God is eternal. And if we seek his kingdom first, everything else will fall into place, as Jesus said. And Jesus also told his followers in John 14, 1, it'll be on the screens, it says, do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And belief is really trust. Belief is faith. And from what we've learned about Jesus, we can trust God. We can trust Jesus, that we can be confident that he has our best interest in mind, that he'll provide all that we need. Not necessarily what we want, but what we need. And when it comes to making a commitment to Heart Check, we're asking you to trust God with these things, your time, your talents, and your treasure. And even the gifts that you give, your tithes here at this church, Heart Check is above and beyond our tithes and offerings that we give for the ministries that we do in-house or across our campuses. This is our missions budget outside the walls of this place. And what do we mean by trust? Well, three areas we're talking about with trust. We're trusting that God can and will do so much more with our time, our treasure, and our talents than we could ever do on our own, that we give him all that we are. And we're trusting that as we participate with his Holy Spirit, that God will multiply everything that we give him, more than we could ever do on our own. And we're also trusting, you are and we are, trusting our church leadership who has been doing this Heart Check campaign for the last 15 so years. And we can trust, and I can say with full confidence, that we have people of integrity who are on the front lines, who are doing ministry, as Becky said, pushing back the darkness every day, regionally, locally, and globally. And we want to just come alongside them to say, how can we be a part of that? And maybe for some of you, you have more time to give than others. For others of you, maybe it's more resources than others. And others of you, it really is just your prayers to say, how can I lament? How can I intercede? How can I help? Having these updates on our mind as we're praying for the partners all around the world. And one of the best things about our Heart Check campaign is our partnerships are not simply about financial transactions, but relational transformation. That's why we do this. It's about people. It's not about the money. It's not making us feel good or having a clean conscience about ourselves. It's about engaging with what God is already doing in this world to see his kingdom come, his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's about lives being changed, about seeing Jesus proclaimed as we participate with him through this Heart Check campaign.
And the Christian faith is full of paradoxes, and one of those that can be hard to kind of wrap our head around is expressed in what Paul says to Timothy, that the life that truly life is not about getting and accumulating, but it's about giving. Giving things away is true wealth, is true richness. He says, do good, be rich in good deeds, be generous, be willing to share. This is the life that is truly life. And so today is the day that we're going to be asking for commitments to Heart Check. What does that look like for you locally, regionally, and across the world? And we just want to highlight in those three categories a few of the things that committing to Heart Check, well, what does that mean? What does it mean locally? Well, first of all, our local children's ministry in this church right now going on downstairs. You might think, how is that outreach? That's like in our building. Let me tell you, when a new family comes, if we don't have quality children's programming, they're not coming back. And so we want to make sure, especially now, that we have safe environments for children, because there's a lot of anxiety and tension now, right? And so we just want to make sure that we have those environments that are safe for kids. And don't get me wrong, we have wonderful ministry partners that do our children's programs, but some of them have served every week for 9 months. And so we want to protect them. We don't want them to burn out. We want to build teams so that the children in our congregation have multiple adults that they identify as being safe, that they can be safe with, whether it's here in church or as they see them out in the community. And so if that's something that you think you might be interested in, we're not going to just throw you down with the wolves next week. And yes, I just compared children to wolves. I think it's appropriate. I did it last week. Wow.
As a true parent speaks, right?
As a true parent, yeah, no. But we're going to walk with you about what that looks like. There's an application process, and then we'll have you shadow just to kind of see what goes on. There's lesson plans that are given. You don't have to come up with that stuff on your own. And we'll walk with you through that process. And so our children's coordinator, Sydney, will be out in the lobby at a little table to discuss any questions for those of you who might be interested in serving in our children's
ministry. And everything that we're mentioning today, these local regional and global are all in our Heart Check brochure that you can pick up on the table as you go, or some of them are on the seats as you see, but also online if you just go to click on Heart Check on our church website. But another one is a partnership with The Rock that's local. Rock is the Rural Outreach Center, which is located just on Olean Street on the other side of town. And we have such a great relationship with them. Some of you even know them already. But right now, we're looking for mentors, teachers, and interviewers for the work readiness program that we're launching with The Rock, helping people find jobs and how to get a job, and then working with students and children about what does it mean to go into a certain field and have experience with that. And so there already are some people from our congregation here in East Aurora doing this, but we'd love to build that base so that we can partner with those that are in need. So that's one opportunity with The Rock. And Bob and Marguerite Gibson will be out in the lobby after service if you have any questions. Again, anything we talk about, there's an opportunity to talk to someone to say, I'd love to continue the conversation. Not necessarily lock in and say you're going to serve on this day exactly at this time, but just continue the conversation about your interest and what God is even saying right now to you. The second thing locally that we want to talk about, or third thing technically, is Church in the Park. I made this announcement in the past couple weeks, but beginning this August and every Sunday in August, we are moving this service outside to Hamlin Park because we want to be where people are at, to enjoy the outside together, to come relaxed. I'm going to be preaching in shorts and a t-shirt. Praise Jesus. It's going to be awesome. But we're going to be outside just letting people know that we love this community, bringing the music, the message, even testimony of what God is doing so that people who are walking by, or maybe a friend or family member that you know who would be scared out of their mind to come into a church context, we don't want that to be a hindrance. We want to be able to go to where people are at, just like Jesus would. And so we're going to move the services outside every Sunday in August, weather permitting. We'll make that call each morning, but I think in the last so many years, there's only been like one or two Augusts where it rained. My dad actually started Church in the Park 40 years ago here. He said there was one or two in a dozen years. So there's probably a little bit more since then, but I digress. Let's go back to what I'm talking about. But with that, we need help logistically moving what we have here there. Now we're asking people to bring chairs and blankets themselves as we'll sit in the lawn and be able to have the stadium seating of the hill out in the patio of the bandstand there in Hamlin Park next to the playground. There'll be kids program as well. But we need people to help us move our technical equipment, people with signage, people to help us with greeting and hospitality. So you'll hear more information about that, but if that's something that interests you, we'd love to talk about that. As well as Music Fest coming up this Saturday, we mentioned, there's an opportunity. Stop by, say hello, just say hi to some people, maybe bring your family and friends by to hear what music we play here and other fun music. And then the Carolcade coming up, the 50th anniversary of Carolcade in December on Main Street. We're going to be a part of that as well.
Absolutely. So those are some of our local things that Heart Check will fund, that we'll be able to do that in the community. And then regionally, we've talked about Compass Care a couple of times in this church, and it's just a pregnancy service. They do free pregnancy services for women who are considering abortion. And so they inform them. They do sonograms and ultrasounds and hear the heartbeat and then decide. And there's no judgment with the decision. They've saved hundreds of babies, and they've brought hundreds of women to Christ. They started in Rochester. They are now in Buffalo, and they're working on being in Albany. And so they are working their way across New York State as an incredible ministry. And then there's an organization that someone from our own congregation started called PATH. It's People Against Trafficking Humans. Slavery still exists. It exists in our country. Tens of thousands of people are bought and sold in the United States, and it exists in Western New York. And so this is a regional ministry that seeks to help create a path for these people out of being in enslavement. A couple weeks ago, we had a video about Adult and Teen Challenge. This is a local or a regional organization that helps those who are struggling with drug and alcohol addiction to be freed from that addiction.
I mentored for a year in a program with others. It's just an amazing program.
Yeah. And then we have 716 Ministries, which seeks to get people in the refugee population and other underserved populations through a work readiness program, again, including mentoring, to help them to be able to create a better life for themselves. And I will be standing back at the regional table, not that I have all the answers to the questions, but I can connect you to the person who has all the answers to the questions about those ministries.
And Heart Check globally, this year, partnerships with YFC Lebanon, Maher, as we mentioned before, working with the youth in the Middle East, in Lebanon in particular, and coming around those families in this time of crisis. They're seeing hundreds of families come to know Christ as they help even care for the physical needs of people and disciple people in small groups. Poetis is a ministry in Zambia, Africa that we have many partnerships with, and many people from our congregation, even here in East Aurora, have been a part of some trips there. They're going to be here actually Labor Day weekend to be able to share with us some updates of what's going to be happening and what they have planned in the future. And then another one, India Gospel League. This is a ministry with Samuel Stevens in India where they are training church planters, even home church planters, where their goal, they've already planted over 20,000 churches in the last 20 years. Their goal by 2040 that we're partnering with is to be able to have a church in every village in India. God is on the move in India. There's a revival happening there. And so we get the privilege of being a part of that and the training of those ministers as a part of our funding and our time and our resources. And so there's many more opportunities. Again, we encourage you to take one of these as you leave so you can see or check out the website. But we want to share even the latest one globally from a couple that from our congregation. Check out the video on the screen.
We think about the Billy Grahams of the world and people that are famous and they get books written about them and everything. And, oh, well, I'd never be like that. So you kind of think doing those things is not something you can do. But when we go on the mission field, we'll meet other missionaries, other people doing really exciting, creative things for the kingdom of God.
I'm Annie McCune, my husband Lee McCune, and we've been attending Revive for about 9 years, and we're here because we want to make sure all of you get excited about Heart Check and what God can do with each and every one of us through that.
When we first went on our first trip, our youngest was 5 years old and our oldest, I believe, was 12. And it was our summer vacation. So my limited time off and our resources went into this trip where we went to Honduras. I was introduced to the Haiti work that the Shainers were working on by Denny Willis that knew about what we were doing in Honduras. And he had us get together at Spot Coffee and learn about their vision.
I'm Judy Shainer, and this is my husband, Tom Shainer. We've been attending Revive Wesleyan for approximately 6 years. And we're here to share an amazing story with you that has changed our lives and has also changed the lives of over 100 children and families in the remote village of Bailo, Haiti.
Well, shortly after retiring in 2012, I attended my first short-term mission, and I met a man named Pastor Reginald Constant. Pastor Constant invited me to see his school. 60 students were finding an education in that school, and that inspired me.
Of course, the children were beautiful and wonderful, but the starkness of the classrooms and the lack of basic supplies, things that you would take for granted as a teacher, especially with the little ones, just toys and blocks and books and crayons, there were none of that. There were a few children that were having a snack, maybe a banana or a piece of bread, and I asked Pastor Reginald if it was snack time, and he said, no, this is our lunch. He had said that very few parents are able to send anything to eat. And my heart became very heavy and an overwhelming sadness, of course. But I also felt this indescribable desire and urge that I would act upon this from the Holy Spirit.
We had no experience in forming a mission, so to speak. So we surrounded ourselves with mentors and friends and people of like mind. And together, we navigated things that had to be accomplished.
Tom and Judy were just starting. They were going on, like we started, as their own vacation, but they wanted to grow. They wanted to be able to raise funds, and we had already been through a lot of that. Mm-hmm. We built a school. Mm-hmm. So I said, hey, come on the board of Storehouse, and we can run all the finances through us, and when you're ready to go out on your own, then go out on your own.
We're just so blessed to report that now those kids in Bailo, Haiti are receiving a hot meal every day, 5 days a week at lunch. Beyond that, we've improved the school by adding classrooms. We added a kitchen. We put a water filtration system on the roof where kids can get clean, safe drinking water any time of the day.
As teachers, we're really pleased to say that we now pay for the teachers' salaries. And we've been able to give them a raise, and we've even been able to offer two teachers maternity leave, which is really unheard of in Haiti. You know, I just feel so blessed to be a part of a church that can have this far-reaching hand, both close in our neighborhoods, in the city, and across many countries. And just to be able to do God's kingdom work in so many places is such a blessing. And that can all happen through the Heart Check campaign.
Sitting within our comfort zone is not exciting. Getting out of our comfort zone just continues to get us to that place where we know this is what it means to be a Christian. And it is never boring, and it is never without a little risk, but it is so rewarding.
I can't imagine saying no to God. I mean, if God loves you that much that he wants to use you and ask you to do something, to say no, I can't do that. Say yes.
So what do we do in the face of evil? We lament and we act. As the people of God, we lament. And out of lament comes these ministries. I mean, you heard Judy saying how heartbroken she was about the fact that these kids go through a whole school day without hardly anything to eat. And so ministries are born out of lament, so that we can push back the darkness. It's from people seeing realities that don't line up with God's character and bringing it to God and saying, what are you doing about this? And then being obedient to how God asks them to act. And again, maybe like the Chainers and the McCunes, who we have close personal relationships with, and they go back and forth. And I mean, this is like not just sending money. They have relationships with all the people that are involved in their ministries. This is so about relationships. Maybe the Holy Spirit's putting something like that on your heart. But for most of us, it's going to be participating in what Timothy wrote to Paul about, to pray, to serve, to give. And so participating in this year's Heart Check is a great way to live this out, especially in the face of so much evil that we've experienced. We don't give out of guilt. We give out of love. We give in response to the generosity that God has shown us. We're not buying our way into heaven. That's not what we're doing here. Jesus already paid that price. Salvation is a free gift that he paid for on the cross as a sinless man that died for the sins of the world. We do this in response to God's generosity to us so that we can take hold of the life that is truly life. And that eternal life begins now.
So in the chair backs in front of you, there should be a commitment card, a Heart Check card, looks something like this. If there's one not right in front of you, maybe down the aisle. These are also mailed out if you're on our mailing address. But really, I just want to kind of walk through what this looks like as today is Commitment Sunday. And many of you are maybe prepared for today. If not, next week we'll take these as well. But really what this is there's three ways to engage. As you look at the card, you can fill out your contact information there for us to get in contact with you. But also the first one is to commit to pray. That you would say, yes, I would love to commit to pray for our partners. And updates will be sent out as soon as this next week, as this commitment is a one-year commitment for your family, to be able to say from now until the end of May 2023 that we commit to pray. That's one way that you can engage. Another way is you'd like to engage with a partner ministry, maybe one of the ones we mentioned, locally, regionally, or globally. And maybe today you'd say, yes, I just want to have a conversation about how I can give them my talents or give them my time towards serving in one of these areas. And if that's you, if you would check that one and maybe even write down what that is specifically, if you remember from the list that we had, or maybe just by region, like locally, I'd love to help out with what's happening here at East Aurora, or regionally, or globally. And then thirdly, that I would like to make a commitment with my resources, my treasure, where Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also, to put the total for the entire year in that line right there. And then you could indicate how you would like to do that. And this is, again, above and beyond our normal ties to make ministry happen within the walls here. This is outside of the walls of this church. And our goal for Heart Check across our campus is to support all the partners we've talked about over these last 4 weeks is $750,000. We believe God will take our resources together and multiply them, just like the 5 loaves and 2 fish, to see people impacted everywhere around the world as we partner with him. So be thinking and praying about that even now. As we sing this last song together in just a moment, what we're going to do is we're going to pray together the Lord's Prayer, really just saying, God, may your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And as we then sing this song, you can fill out the card, and at any point, Becky's actually going to get, in the first service we did this as well, and across our campuses, we have little baskets we're going to put up on the stage here. And as you fill out your card, together with your family or representing your family unit, to come up and to place your commitment saying, God, this is our sacrifice of worship to you. That would you take our hearts and our minds and our energies and our talents and our resources for your kingdom's sake. And to symbolically, in action, place that before God here. And so I want to pray together. So would you stand with me? The essence of the Lord's Prayer is this. You'll see it on the screens. We'll pray it together out loud. But before we do, what Jesus meant when he was talking to his disciples, when they asked, Lord, how should we pray? What Jesus was trying to say is, this is what it looks like. It's not necessarily the exact words that you use, but it's the heart behind what you're praying. And really, the essence of the Lord's Prayer is this. It's, God, you are great, you are holy, and we depend on you for everything. This is what the Lord's Prayer is about. And so as we pray with that heart of gratitude and openness, let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. God, we thank you so much for your love for us. And we thank you for this time in history. You have positioned us together with what you are doing in your partnerships and ministries locally, regionally, and around the world, globally, for such a time as this. God, would you be honored and would you receive our acts of worship, our sacrifice, even our boldness to say, God, we don't know, but we just want to take this step today. Would you expand and multiply our efforts, our resources, and our impact for your kingdom's sake? Because we want your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We pray this in Jesus' powerful name. Amen.